You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Australia recognises its multicultural society, but for many Australians, in particular those born in between cultures, the struggle are real. If you're caught in between two cultures, a reality that Filipino-Australian hip-hop musician, artist and producer James Manguhig is well aware of. We hear it straight from him. Welcome to the program, James.
Thank you for having me, and it's very nice to hear my surname pronounced very well.
Finally.
Yeah, I get a lot of different ones, and often I see that even if I tell them you can pronounce it different ways, I still get them to stumble on it. I have the Australian way, which is just to say Manguhig. Make it very simple, but you pronounced it beautifully, of course.
But yeah, as I mentioned, you're caught in between two cultures.
Yes.
Is pronouncing your name one of the struggles you have to face every day?
Yes, it is a little bit, actually. It's also funny for me because I was born in Australia. My accent is Australian, you know, and often people can recognize a Filipino accent quite easily. And so sometimes even when I've spoken to people on the phone and they meet me, they're surprised that I'm Filipino. And also, I think just growing up, trying to explain to people often that when you are mixed race Asian in Australia, often people assume that your mother is the Filipino one and your father is the white one.
Yeah.
But for me, it's the opposite. For me, my father is Filipino and my mother is white, which I think brings a different type of cultural energy to the household, because in many ways, even though my mother is Dutch, she was the daughter of Dutch migrants who moved to Adelaide after the Second World War, I think that we were raised with a very strong traditional Filipino sort of customs in our household.
So we have to thank your father for that.
That's right. It was very important for my father to raise us understanding the privileges that we had growing up in Australia. He would often, even when we were eating dinner, or he would often talk about our family and say, let's just take a moment to think of our family in the village now in the south of the Philippines. They're not eating the same way we are. They don't have the same privileges. They don't have the same sort of space in their house. There's 10 people crammed into a tiny hut or these small sort of properties. And I think for me, that is a huge thing that shaped my identity. So that it did feel like, even though I'd go to school and grew up in Australia, I definitely felt like I still lived between two cultures.
And do you think you going back to the Philippines from time to time really helped you shape who you are?
Yeah, I think that when I was younger, a part of it really confused me. Like, I think I felt like I didn't want to be 100% Filipino, but I didn't want to be 100% sort of Australian either. And I think that they're definitely around the age of sort of 12 to 15, you know, when you're first going through those changes as a teenager, I felt culturally like a bit lost for a while. And I know that when people would say sort of racist things to me in school, sometimes I wouldn't even pay attention because I wasn't even sure what was going on. But as I got older, I started to really embrace it, and really that Pinoy pride really started to come through. And I started to identify that this is who I am and I need to embrace it, not trying to fight against it, and that it was okay to live between two cultures and I could share with both cultures about each other, which I think, you know, is part of the reason why this theatre show came about. It's sort of that that journey into discovering that it's okay to grow up between two cultures.
Some of the people I've spoken to, they're caught between two cultures. Like, they're not Filipino enough to be Filipino, but also not Australian enough to be called,
yes,
Australian. Did you ever experience that as well?
Yeah, I mean, definitely there were moments where I would be with a bunch of Filipinos and I couldn't speak the language so fluently. I could understand what they were saying, but I would feel a little bit lost and there were things I didn't relate to. And then the same felt like in Australia when I was with sort of, I played cricket growing up and I was the only person in my cricket team who was Filipino. Everyone else was from different backgrounds. But what I will say is that I realized very quickly through my teenagehood that when I looked in the mirror, I couldn't change even what I looked like. I couldn't change what was in my blood. And I couldn't change the way I felt and the warmth I felt towards community and just some of the laughter and joy that I often see traveling. I've been lucky enough to travel the world and meet Filipinos all over the world. And there are definitely some common traits and things that you feel that really beautiful comfort and like you're back in the village again, like,
yeah,
that feeling when you see other Filipinos. So I started learning to embrace that a lot more rather than fight it.
And you wouldn't change it now, isn't it?
Absolutely. I feel really lucky that I've grown up, I guess, with a father who really was passionate about us being aware of, you know, our place in the world, but also aware of our history and our roots and our family. Like my Lula was this incredible woman who kind of held our family in the Philippines together. My father is one of six children, and he was the second oldest.
Mm.
And he left at the age of 23. He left the village and ended up having a pen pal relationship while he was studying Bible college in Manila. And my mother was in Adelaide. She was only 16 years old, and they started a pen pal relationship, and they wrote to each other for years. And he would ask her to marry him on these cassette tapes. And he would send these cassette tapes of his sermons while he was practicing, and they were probably very boring sermons, but she would listen to them. And at the end of one of these cassette tapes, he asked her to marry him, and she said no the first time, and then he asked her again after 4 years, and she said no the second time. And then after 6 years of writing letters to each other, he asked her a third time, and that was the time that she decided, well, I should at least go to the Philippines to meet this guy. And I always said to my father, I can't believe you didn't even see her face, and you, like, face to face, and you were asking her to marry him. And he would say, oh, son, I just already knew.
She's the one.
She's the one. And he's a little bit, like a lot of Filipinos, my father's quite romantic.
This story of yours, as you are sharing, I think it's a story that many migrant families or migrants in Australia share in one way or two.
But absolutely.
Yeah. And you and with your fellow hip-hop star Joel Ma will be sharing this in your music and in your upcoming show called In Between Two. Tell us about this.
Yes, so Joel's father is Chinese and his mother's Australian, and we used to play in a band together called TZU, and I was the touring bass player and played keyboard and bass guitar. And after the concert, sometimes we would be hanging out, relaxing back at our hotel, and we would start telling each other stories about our families. And he would say, you know, my father was actually born in Australia, but my grandma came here. And I'd say, oh, my father was born in the Philippines in this village. And through telling each other those stories, we realized that we both loved hip-hop. We both didn't see many representations of ourselves in the Australian media landscape growing up. And we also both felt a little bit in between two worlds. So through that, we eventually led to putting on a concert at Darwin Festival where we played songs with our two separate bands, but we also told stories in between songs. And a lady happened to be in the crowd who, Annette Shunghua, who makes theatre, and she said, this could actually be a proper professional show, not just like a concert with some small stories. So over the years, we've developed it into a theatre show where we tell the stories of our families coming to Australia. And we, you know, we soundtrack it with music and we do a few songs. But the narrative is, it's really at the core of it, it's much more about family than hip hop. And it's about friendship and just understanding that from asking our parents these stories, we realize that that's where some of the real cultural richness comes from, is just from people's personal stories.
Yeah. Can you share maybe one of your best stories that you have shared to your audience?
Well, one of my favorite stories is one, it's only a short story, but it's about the sort of character that my father is as a human. And I tell a story that when he was just 9 years old, his father worked on a farm called Lambayong. And that farm was between 5 and 10 hours from his village by Carabao, water buffalo. And that was the means of transport. And one night when his father was working on the farm in the village, his mother had a miscarriage. And all these people came to help his mother in the village. But his mother, my Lula, turned to my father and said, you need to let your father know that I've had this miscarriage. And we have no way to let him know, so you need to do it. And my father's name is Norman, but they call him Nonoy. So he said, Nonoy, you need to go to the farm. So my father, he ran all through the night for hours, nonstop, only stopping in people's house or in the river to drink water. And he ran all night in the dark as a young boy when he was 9 years old just to tell his father that your wife has had a miscarriage, or my mother has had a miscarriage. And, you know, he was the one who was, that was his character. He was a really loyal, dedicated and passionate person, even at the age of nine. So I tell that story in the show to sort of show his character as a human.
And what was the audience reaction?
Well, I guess because my father and me still have a really strong relationship, and he's a preacher and weird friendship because I don't go to church anymore. So the audience reaction is often, I think over the show, they build up a feeling of what type of person my father is. So often after the show, people react and say, your father sounds very interesting. Or yeah, there's a lot of like humor in the show as well. Naturally, being Filipino, we have to have a laugh. But I was worried when I first made the show that I was hoping I wasn't being disrespectful to my father anyway, because I tell the truth about sometimes how it was hard hard to grow up with a father who is a preacher.
Yeah.
And I don't lie about that. I talk about some of those struggles that I felt. But the audience reaction has always been, your father seems like an incredible man. And he is. He is a really incredible human.
And this kind of story or personal story is incorporated in your show together with your hip-hop music. What else can audience expect on the show?
They can expect really good photos of Currabal.
Oh.
No, we have like a family slideshow. So we have these photos while we're telling stories. There's some photos in the background. And as Joel and I have such a strong friendship, we also give a sort of commentary about our feelings as working in the arts within Australia. So there's a bit of social commentary about the way we felt growing up and the way we feel now as Asian Australian artists. Working in, you know, in both the music industry and now the theatre industry. I also do a fair bit of work soundtracking dance shows and stuff. So we've noticed that the scene is changing. And obviously, you know, there's great things like this radio show that we're doing right now that are giving the voice to different communities. But we are passionate about seeing those voices rise to the mainstream and being more on our television screens, in our parliaments, on our theatre stages, you know?
Yeah. You and Joel are considered icons in the Australian hip-hop scene. You being an ARIA-nominated producer and Joelistics, best known as the founder of award-winning hip-hop group TZU. What's the relevance of your personal stories or of Joel's stories of being half-Asian that you both find necessary to really incorporate in the works that you do?
It's funny because we don't really, we're older now, we're not so involved in the hip-hop scene as like front people anymore. Well, I never really was. I was always behind the scenes, which is how I like it. But Joel doesn't really even rap much anymore except in this theatre show. But I think that we just felt that growing up, we didn't see many people like us on stage. And so we feel like there's this whole generation of young people in Australia that are looking to find their identity and find out if they're allowed to sort of surf between two cultures and all those sorts of things. And I think one of the reasons why we kept wanting to do this show and why we're doing such big regional tours, example, is hopefully to meet some people from those communities. And I think it's been a really big driving force behind the reason we've continued with this theatre show.
Yeah. You have already done In Between Two before, right? In 2016 and 2017.
That's right.
Based on my readings, it has wowed the audiences in Melbourne and Sydney festivals. And this year, it will be shown in two separate venues.
Yes, that's right. It's going to be in Parramatta next week, 28th, 29th and 30th. Of March, and then it's going to be at the Monkey Bar Theatre in Darling Harbour, I think, on the 4th and 5th of April.
Yeah. What do you want your audience to take away from this show?
You know, like, I think there's some obvious things that the audience almost knows that when they come to watch two mixed-race Asian guys on stage, they know they're going to hear some stories about racism. They know they're going to hear some stories about, you know, our feelings about the media landscape. But what I really love is when people take away a sense of asking questions about their own family and their own background. And I often know the show has affected people a lot when I hear them talk to me about their families after the show. Whether they be Asian or not, it doesn't matter. I just think that the show is for people who are interested in hearing stories about family. And yeah, I guess, I mean, I'm sort of one of those artists, so I guess I like people to take whatever they want from something. But my desire would be that people would maybe go home and ask questions to their grandparents or their parents or their brothers and their sisters and realize that we're all just part of this incredible narrative of life. And I think I'm so much closer to my father because I've done this show. We don't always agree, but there's definitely so much I can celebrate about his life and how hard he worked so that I could have the privilege of growing up in a country where I was, you know, supported and loved and always had food and shelter, which a lot of people in, you know, if I look back at his country, a lot of people in the Philippines don't have that. And I think that, you know, that, yeah, but everyone has those stories. I think everyone has those kind of stories about where they came from and how they got there.
In today's society and with issues concerning migration, your story is somewhat similar to stories of many migrants, isn't it? But with you and through
Absolutely.
Your show, In Between Two, you use your music or your artistry to really put it and bring it about to the community and really share it to the wider community.
Yeah, I think that music is always one of those tools that people, you know, often open their ears before they open their hearts. And I think that that's why music has been, it's also all I know how to do, like making music, being a music producer, it's what I just feel like I was born to do, is to work with people and create music. So I think it's definitely been a vehicle for Joel and myself over the years to express how we feel about all those things. And the show has music in it. There's lots of music in the show, but the focus is definitely more on storytelling.
So this is like a new thing for Australian audience, isn't it? Because it's mostly when you go to a hip-hop show, it will be hip-hop. But with you, you incorporate the storytelling, and not just the storytelling, because it's personal stories of you and Joel.
Yes, that's right.
How empowering is this for migrants like yourself or like your fathers?
I would like to think that we're doing justice to our stories. That's the thing as well. We don't have to act. The good thing about doing the show is we're just telling the truth about our lives. And I think from reactions, for example, the other night in Frankston, someone put their hand up in the audience to ask a question in the Q&A, and they just basically said, "Hello, I'm a migrant woman. Is my child going to be okay in Australia? Are they going to be okay?" So that to me tells me that they're watching our show and they see the struggles that we faced, and they're thinking about their own children or their own family, and they're going, wow, there are going to be some struggles, but it's nice to hear that these two have made it through okay and are now, you know, hopefully we have some sort of influence into the way the, you know, very small maybe, but some sort of influence about how the media landscape will look in the next 10 to 15, 20 years of this country.
Yes, and what was your answer to that woman? I'm just interested.
My answer to her, I think Joel answered the question actually, and I think he told her, like, they are going to be okay. Tell them the teenage years are rough and school is rough, but they need a community around them, but they are going to be okay because we're okay. And me and Joel have had very different upbringings, but there were so many similarities as well. And I think, you know, we've had also like Asian kids come up to us after the show who are like between the ages of 15 and 20 and say, "You've just told my story and thank you. And I often feel alone, but hearing these stories makes me know there are more people out there." And, you know, I think that's it's worth doing a whole tour of this country just for that one person, really.
Mm-hmm. For you, you have this platform to really tell your stories. But for other kids or maybe teenagers or even migrants who are really facing the struggle, what can you say to them in terms of really facing these challenges as migrants in a multicultural country as Australia?
Well, what I would say to them is you're not alone. There are heaps of people that feel like you, and you are a part of the beautiful, rich tapestry that is our country. And, you know, at the end of the day, unless you're Indigenous to this land, you're a migrant. Like, everyone's a migrant in this country. So, you know, if they want to tell their story, they should find out how they want to tell it. They should really think about how they want to tell it, what art form, whether that be poetry or whether that be music or film or painting, whatever, and they should work really hard at that and just be authentic to their story, be true to what it is. And I think that, you know, for them to know they're not alone, there is a community and there are more organizations who are starting to want to program more culturally diverse things. And yeah, I would just say to them, you're not alone and there are people out there like you, and you will find them and then you will encourage each other and it will all be okay.
Yeah. After your show In Between Two, where do you want to take your two cultures? More stage all around Australia or international?
I think we are talking about doing some international touring with this particular theatre show. I know Joel and I both, we're both working on solo records at the moment, like as producers. So Joel's working on a project called Film School, and I'm working on a project called From the Dots. And From the Dots is a collaborative project with a lot of Asian Australian artists that I'm producing. But also, I'm hoping to go to the Philippines early next year and live there for a month and just spend time reconnecting with some artists and musicians over there. Because one thing I'd love to do is bring more artists from Asia to Australia and give them a different platform that they wouldn't have otherwise had unless they'd had those opportunities and we'd created something together. So recently I've been spending some time working in Taiwan and connecting with some Indigenous Taiwanese people, and we've brought over a small children's choir to a festival up in the Northern Territory, and that was an amazing success. So I think more projects like that that are just changing the way things look on stages around the country.
This is one way of you really connecting cultures. But like for yourself, how will you be more connected with your Philippine heritage? I know that you said off air, you'll learn more of the language.
Yes. Yes, I think like learning more of the language is important, but also just incorporating the language and the imagery into the art I do. So whether that be through the film clips I make or the songs that I write with people, bringing in more of that influence. But also, I think just going to the Philippines and existing over there, especially because it's such an intense time at the moment with the leadership that's happening there and the way that the system is working, I think I just need to go there and just exist there for maybe like a month and be inspired, but also sort of talk to people and listen to stories over there and find out what's going on and see if I can maybe be a vehicle to help those stories reach more people.
And maybe incorporate those in your music or in the music that you produce.
Absolutely. And yeah, definitely. Like I've definitely felt that over the years, every time I've met a Filipino musician, like I was lucky to spend some time with Joey Ayala, like when he came to Darwin Festival 2 years ago, and we spent a lot of time talking, and like I'd love to work with more artists like that and find ways to, you know, produce different types of songs and material with them.
Yeah. Lastly, how important is your culture to your music and the works that you produce?
I think it informs everything. I think that it is just who I am. Like, I am a proud Filipino. I am proud of my people and I'm proud of the attitude and spirit that we carry. So every project I do, I think I carry a little bit of that. And particularly up in the north, I work with a lot of indigenous musicians from communities out there. And I know that they don't see me as just like another white man. They often see me as something else, which is also interesting because they know I'm not Aboriginal, but they know that I've got brown skin and they know that my father is a heavy cultural man. And I think that it just seeps into everything that I do.
Where can they follow James Manguhig?
The best place to follow me is probably on Instagram, and it's just James_Manguhig. So it's just, yeah, just my name with an underscore in between. And yeah, that's where I sort of tell the world what I'm up to and sort of promote this show as well. So, yeah. And please reach out. If you're Filipino, shoot me a message. Say hello. Like, I love hearing from you and I love connecting with other Filipinos.
Thank you very much, James Manguhig. And probably we will hear from you in the future with your music with Filipino words in it.
That's right. You will. Thank you.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.